it's true, Dubai seemed to rise out of the desert in the Middle East in no time. Quickly sprung up a city. Well, when people are motivated, when men specifically are motivated to build something and they need it and they need it now, usually follow the money. It's all about money. Then they're wildly motivated to construct whatever they need to construct, and they'll do it swiftly. What a word. I'm going to investigate this word, talk to you about Babylon and how quickly it can be rebuilt. Welcome to Tuesday here on the Revelation series. Yes, this is Election Day in the United States. Tomorrow I will be discussing with you the results of the election. Depending on the timing of this show, I'm not sure how it's going to work out. But anyway, again, one can be interested in politics without putting one's hopes and dreams and aspirations on political outcomes, because we know that God is in charge of these outcomes. Now, back in the early days of the bunker, when I first started this series, I gave you a very important word that has been mistranslated in the King James Version in the very first statement of Revelation. Like, how fast can you screw this book up, King James people? How fast can you screw it up? Chapter 1, verse 2? It might even be before that. It might be verse 1. Let me make sure here. Verse 1! Chapter 1, verse 1. The King James Version screws up a critical word. This has to do with the rebuilding of Babylon, ladies and gentlemen. And because of this screwed up word, mistranslated, that the Concordant Version gets right, by the way, I'm going to tell you what that is. Because of that, many thousands of expositors all through the years have misinterpreted the book of Revelation. I mean, you can't misinterpret it more than saying that the events of this book have already taken place. It is so crazy to say that the events of the book of Revelation are historic. Nothing is yet future. I mean, just you can't wrap your mind around it. But these people have scriptural recourse, as wacky as it is, because of a mistranslated word. And this does have to do with the speed by which I believe Babylon can be rebuilt. Not unlike Dubai. So how can you read all of these things? The coming trials, the bowls, the coming of Christ in glory, the new heavens and the new earth descending out of heaven. But you have to spiritualize all this stuff. You have to twist the scripture so that God can no longer say what he means. It's the opposite is what you have to do of what we have been doing from the inception of this series, which is taking God at his word, allowing for figures of speech, literal if possible, and don't interpret God's interpretations. John sees seven stars. Oh, these are seven messengers. John sees seven lampstands. Oh, these are seven ecclesias. Oh, it's simple. That's God's interpretation. These seven mountains are seven kings. Oh, I got it. They're kings. Wonder what the kings are. They're kings. They're kings. So translation is everything, and interpretation is everything, and understanding figures of speech. So many people die and say stupid things based on an ignorance of figures of speech. You know my favorite one, Jesus holding up the bread saying, "This is my body." It's the literal body of Christ, say the Catholics. No, it's a freaking metaphor. I am the door. Oh, Jesus is a door. Grab his handle and open him. No. He's like a door. Well, why didn't he just say he was like a door? Because that's a simile and he wanted to use a metaphor. Because it's more powerful, robust, masculine language. I'm the door. Really? This bread is my body. And now we're going to make a sacrament out of it. So translation is everything. And, ignorance of figures of speech has caused people to believe that God doesn't know everything. Open the door for open theists who see these figures of speech called anthropomorphia, when God speaks of himself as being a human, and they say, that's how God really is. God in the Garden of Eden saying, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Oh, God doesn't know where Adam is. It's a figure of speech, you morons. It's called anthropomorphia when God comes across as a human in order to teach humans things, because we're like little ants. It's like me and you talking to an ant. How do you talk to an ant? Well, when I want to talk to an ant, I get up to it real close and I go. That's what I do. The ants seem to understand. But if somebody were to walk into the room or walk outside to the sidewalk and see me on my hands and knees going, a sender's an idiot. No, he's just lowering himself to the level of the ants. He's not really like this. He's rather intelligent. He can write coherent sentences and finish his thoughts. But when he's talking to ants, that's not the real Zender, you see. So, I could go on, figures of speech, my goodness. So, the guy or gal who knows the most about figures of speech will make the fastest progress in the understanding of God's word. That sounds so unspiritual, but I'm sorry, God chose language as the vehicle of revealing himself. Although I have a friend who doesn't believe that God speaks in the scripture. She thinks everybody's interpretation is the same. Yeah, I have this friend who's a new ager. Oh, unbelievable. I cannot believe how these people think. There's no anchor. There's no standard revelation that we have to wrestle with. And God spoke to humanity. Now we have to figure out what he said in the Bible. No. According to the new agers, everybody has the possibility of being enlightened. My words just as important as Paul's words in the Bible, because hey, I'm God too. It's God within you. This, which, you know, it's a twist on the truth, right? God is here. We're here. The New Agers don't believe that, because they think God is in you. So we're foolish, you see, for waiting for an outside power source like the Spirit of God to resurrect our dead bodies. Because no, if you're a new ager, you don't die. No, because the humanity is afraid to death of death. And Satan's first lie plays right into these people, like Eckhart Tolle and these other new agers. Satan says to Eve, God said that you will die. To die, you shall be dying when you eat this fruit. No, that's not going to happen to you. So humanity's been all panning after that ever since. Satan's premier lie. He's the father of lies, and his first one was a whopper. You won't die. And now all the new agers, they all believe it. The Catholics believe it. Baptists believe it. Every Christian believes it. Every Christian believes it. I don't believe it because I'm not a Christian. You don't believe it because you're not a Christian. Death is the scariest thing humanity can face. It's the result of sin. And without death, you don't have resurrection. You can't believe in resurrection without believing in death. I'm sorry for being so logical. All right, Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to read it from the King James Version first, because I'll show you how people get off the track right off the bat here. King James Version, Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. That's 1611 English. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew, S-H-E-W, to shew unto his servants. God, will you shew me something? Please shew me something. If the shoe fits, I'll wear it. To shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. That's the killer word, shortly. Shortly come to pass. This is the word that makes millions of people think that Revelation, the events thereof, already happened. Because this is what God shew John. God shew John that these things must shortly come to pass. The thing is, that's a bad translation. The word should not be translated shortly. It should be translated swiftly. And the difference is profound. I'm going to look up this word. That translates shortly, just to give you the Greek word to tell you that I research these things. I don't just make this stuff up. I'm going to have to put my glasses on for this. These are my computer glasses, not my reading glasses. So I got no guarantees here. Oh, what? I need help here. I got to get to Walmart, get some more glasses. In fact, I'm actually better off without these computer glasses. Swiftly, where is it? I just remember I told you yesterday I was supposed to give you that video, the link of me talking about how we're in this wonderful bubble of ignorance where we don't know what God is going to do next, and it's actually a great gift. All right, I'm going to get to that. I'll tell you what the Concordant version translates shortly. It makes all the difference in the world. It's tachu, T-A-C-H-U. That's the Greek word, tachu. I wonder if that's where we get our word tachometer. I wouldn't doubt it. So this word should not be translated shortly. It should be translated what the Concordant version translates it. And I'm going to read the Concordant version to you now. In this version, God doesn't shoo anybody anything. He shows them stuff like a normal person would. God's not a person. That was a figure of speech. The unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gives to him, gives to show his slaves what must occur swiftly. Swiftly. What a difference. Swiftly means speedily, in a fast manner. It doesn't mean shortly. Right? That's what the King James says, right? Shortly? Shortly come to pass. So people are reading Revelation 1:1 in the King James Version, and they say to themselves, while they're drinking their tea, you know, and extending their pinkies like this, and they say, it must mean it's going to happen right away. Right a bloody way. So that's why they think that as soon as it was written, it started happening. But it's not a matter of when the thing's going to happen. It's a matter of how fast it happens when it starts happening. It's not a matter of how soon it's going to happen. It's a matter of how fast it goes when it starts happening, swiftly. And I'm going to give you an example of it, of this word used in another place. I'm going to go to John 20 when they're going to the tomb. Peter then and the other, John 20 verse 3 from the Concordant version. Peter then and the other disciple, that'd be John, came out. John is he writes about himself in the third person here. Peter and then and the other disciple came out, and they came to the tomb. Now the two raced alike, and the other disciple runs more swiftly before Peter and came first to the tomb. Who cares who won the race to the tomb? Who really cares? Why is this in here? This is why I think it's in here, to give us another occurrence in context of this critical word tachu in the Greek, to show us in another context clear definition of this word. Peter runs more swiftly. Insert the King James translation in there, because it's the same exact word. The other disciple runs more shortly? He runs more shortly. What does he do? Run on his knees or something? Who is he? Toulouse-Lautrec? What's going on here? No, he doesn't run more shortly. He runs more swiftly. It's the speed of the thing. So by this, I'm telling you, as I close this show today, you may say I've been all over the map. No, it's all interconnected. You just have to be a genius like me to understand it. Ha ha. It's all there, believe me. Just put it together. Assemble it, okay? Take it one thing at a time. Sew it together. We have a beautiful tapestry here. So, people sometimes tell me, Martin, so many things have to happen before the stage is set in Israel for the tribulation to begin. And the reason they're concerned about this is because they know that our snatching away, the snatching away of the body of Christ, happens before these events. I had a friend tell me yesterday that he thinks the snatching away will happen prior to the unveiling of the Antichrist, which is the first trumpet of Revelation, the white horse rider, which is the coming of the false Antichrist. Hey, great. Could be. I hope it is. At the latest, it's in the middle of the tribulation, the 3.5 year mark. Anyway, this stuff is going to happen swiftly. And so don't worry that you don't see things happening. Don't worry, because once the dominoes start falling, and I think they already have begun, the players are being set up, this thing's going to happen swiftly, swiftly. It didn't happen shortly because John didn't understand that the eons had to be adjusted. Hebrews 11:3 Concordant version, the eons, the time periods we're living in, had to be adjusted to a declaration of God. In other words, nobody knew that the kingdom was going to be temporarily put on hold. This is what the people who say that this stuff happened spiritually, all the events of Revelation, this is what they don't know, that there was a secret administration that would interrupt God's plans with Israel. It was Paul's administration, during which time God would give a new evangel to non-Israelites concerning reconciling the heavens to himself. Nobody saw that. It was unprophesied. and the eons adjusted. It was like, we have to stretch out the eons a little bit, like taking bookmarks on a springs and stretch them out and put this unknown time period in there, also known as the time of the nations, the era of the nations, the era of Paul, the administration of the grace of God, whatever you want to call it. We're in that era now. It's a window. And it's an excellent era in which to believe, in which to be saved from the coming indignation. Everybody's eventually saved because God's the Savior of all humanity, 1 Timothy 4:10. But we're talking about aeonian life. We're talking about the life that endures through these time periods I've just been talking about. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the stuff that's going to happen, it's going to happen so rapidly. Everything's accelerated. Remember the charts I showed you, that exponential boom, boom, boom rise in everything, in information and technology and the speed of travel and the ability to destroy ourselves. Everything's like going crazy. So God is speeding up his work. He's speeding it up. Can't you tell that? Can't you tell that we're on a crash course for something? And what I'm finding is people who are getting what I'm telling you, people who are coming to understand the eons and the salvation of all and the sovereignty of God, they're getting it like this. They're getting things in 5 minutes that it took me 15 years to figure out. I don't resent it. I'm glad about it. I don't mind. I'll study for 20 years if you can get it in 2 minutes. That's great. I'm glad we're in an accelerated era. It's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for all of us because soonish, folks, very soonish, very swiftly, we're going to get the heck out of here.